Hello and welcome to Artists Soar. This is a podcast for artists by three artists. We discuss all aspects of being artists, the good, the bad, and the ugly. The goal of each podcast is to provide solutions so artists can focus on their creativity and soar above. I'm Rachel Harshenko.
Jules McCullough.
Stephanie Weaver.
Okay, and welcome, guys. This is another edition of Coffee Talk. And we don't know what we're going to be talking about today, but we're hanging
here
out.
Here we are.
Yeah. And I actually am drinking coffee. Thank you. I better turn my
I probably should get another cup. But, well, we just all got off a call with Carrie Cantrell and going through a little bit about Spoonflower. And I know one of the things that we always experience after an interview with another artist is that we kind of sit down and we really talk about what is amazing about these conversations. And one of the things that I know Julie and I talked a little bit about earlier today is that the artists that seem to succeed are the ones that do it and start it because they just love it. Like Carrie was doing and Kat Coquelette, they just kind of fell into it. And even Jess Miller, just kind of fell into it and kind of kept going because they just loved it and loved the process of creating. And they were able to create good things, but they also did it in a really smart way. Like they learned how to make things faster, more efficient. They learned about keyword research and trending. But it feels like, to me, what they were doing was organically walking a path without a direction. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and they're doing it because they love it. And that is what's shining through.
Yeah.
I think is one thing too. And I don't know.
Quality of their work. You can tell that they really are great, really good artists.
Right.
And they're really putting out good work. Which helps, you know. It's not like a.
It's true. Yeah, it's don't take away from the skill set that they've acquired.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and it's like we had that conversation not long ago about two artists that are fine artists, not surface designers. I think it was Stephanie, you and I, and you had said they just paint to paint, mm-hmm. and they don't care how many paintings they have, mm-hmm. Or what happens to them. They just paint because they love painting, and they're both relatively successful in however they define success. Because I think everyone defines it a little bit differently, but I do think that, you know, people do buy your joy when it comes to art. I think there's a certain aura around that art, that something that's created out of joy versus something that's created out of, I felt like I had to do it that way.
Right.
Well, and Carrie was saying how she did like a balance of like, she tried to balance what was trending and what was selling in her accounts and then what she really loved to do. And, you know, and I loved it that she was still doing challenges. We had spoken challenges before, and that kind of helped spur on some ideas and things like that. So,
well, and I think the challenges is an interesting topic because you guys know, mm-hmm. like the last few months I've started doing more challenges, and I find that I have so much fun with them because I'm creating something that I've been drawn to this challenge for a reason, and it's a lot of fun. And I'm just creating, and whatever happens with it, happens with it. You know, like I have no set expectation of where it's going to end up. I just created it to create it. And I think there's a certain level of joy. Like it's like my Valentine's, my punny Valentine's. Like I am not a punny person. I'm not like, I'm not a funny person. I'm not. That's not who I am. But I had so much fun creating those. And
you find you freaking hilarious. What are you talking about?
I was thinking the same thing, Stephanie. I was like, I crack up at you more than anyone else, maybe.
<You're> stupid. But, you know, like, will you be mine? I just absolutely love that. You know, it's just so funny. And it was just fun to create those. And that's just a challenge I created for myself more than anything. But
well, and those cards, though, you ended up creating elements in those cards mm-hmm. that you're going to put towards something else. I know you are.
Yeah.
So that's kind of fun and interesting. And I loved it that all your animals had like flowers somehow. They're holding flowers.
They all, well, that's how it started. It was going to be Sea Life delivering flowers because A, Sea Life can't deliver flowers, and B, they're in the water. So the flowers are going to wilt. So it's just kind of funny to begin with. But then I came up with putting the puns with them to make them into cards, and it just went from there. But yeah, my biggest challenge though is finding the time. And I keep saying I'm looking for a virtual assistant, but to load this stuff for me and then I can just create it and somebody else can take care of the rest of it. But then, yeah, it's just time. It all takes time to load and grow your products on these sites.
Well, I found it was interesting that Carrie was like, it takes her longer to upload mm-hmm. the stuff to her shops mm-hmm. than it does to create them.
That's interesting.
Yes. Like, are you kidding me?
Creating the pattern is the easiest part for me. Creating the artwork and loading it is the two long parts, and loading being the longest.
Mm-hmm. Why? Like, does the loading, like actual upload time in terms of uploading the file?
No. Just going through all the steps. Like for instance, on Society 6, uploading your design and for me, I'm typically, it's the same design in three different sizes or four different sizes. And then it's going in, you've got to verify that the design looks correct on the product.
Okay.
And Society 6 is just slow. It's just a slow process to do that, especially if you're going through 90 products or 80 products.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So Society 6, I've gotten it down to a science in regards to the process, but it's just a tedious process. And so now I need to do the same thing with my other print-on-demand sites to get the process down so I can write it out exactly how I want it done. But it's just time-consuming. It takes time.
All the keywords is... I think that was the thing that Carrie had talked about. Like, seriously, she has like, it looks like 200 keywords on her account.
Yeah, Spoonflower takes Spoonflower. A lot of keywords.
And I mean, like, that just takes a lot of time. She does do some background and some research before she puts it on there. But,
you know, I read something on probably Facebook or something like that this morning or yesterday. I don't know. They all blend. But it was basically, you know, if you do one thing, like if you run a mile every day in a year, that's 365 miles.
Right.
You run, if you make 1% change every day, that's, you know, a significant change. So, I mean, even if you are only able to verify 45 of those a day at the end of the year, that's 45. If you do 45 every day times 365, that's that how many products every day and right. how long 45 minutes actually takes. I don't know. But I know that was one of the things I was thinking about with even like an art business type thing. If you're in like the corporate world now and you want to move into art world, if you mm-hmm. have, and everybody has, an hour a day just to dedicate to that, it can be done. It's not in the time frame that you want, requires some consistency and grit. But I mean, look at these ladies. They did it.
Yeah.
And they did it because they loved it. They didn't do it because they felt like they had to in terms of external motivations. It was an internal motivation.
Yeah. Sense? Yeah. That makes perfect sense. And I think, I think that's not that I'm hung up or not moving forward or whatever, but I think to a certain degree, that's where I run into problems is I put all these rules and lists and all this stuff together and then it's not fun anymore.
Yeah.
And I just need to naturally do it in lieu of it's okay if it doesn't happen on the day it says. It's okay if I don't follow up with them for 4 weeks instead of 2 weeks. You know, yeah. I don't need to touch them every day. I need to just be making progress in the art and sharing what I'm doing because that's the part that I love.
Yeah.
Right. And that is the more organic way to do it. And yeah. I think that's why we are attracted to like the artists that we are, because they are hands-on. You feel like you know them.
Yeah, they're real. They're not right. shoving stuff down our throats.
Right. Exactly. It's not salesy. It's not someone who has this big team. And like, you know, if you send them an email or you're contacting them for whatever reason, you know, it's not going to go to them. Whereas if I send an email to one of you, or now like Carrie or Kat Collette or these artists that we really do like and follow, it's because we know they're going to answer us.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's them, not their assistant, not someone who gave them something. It's like, you know, like, and they may not respond to you right away, but it's because they probably are doing it themselves. I'm like, good for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They take that seriously, I think.
Yeah. It's the authenticity. That was the other thing I was really just surprised about, is how authentic these women are. You know, the Cats and Jessica and or Jess and Carrie, they're real, they're giving. And I wasn't expecting that. I think because we see these people on, you know, the internet and they're they're doing like amazing things. We just think they're not real. And they're, I think
the internet puts them on a pedestal for us.
Yeah. And it's just amazing to see and be able to talk with these guys.
Yeah.
It's really encouraging.
It is.
To me.
It is.
Like Jess Miller, she's like, you know, like me, she's not necessarily a planner, you know, and I love that.
She hates
It gave me hope. I'm like, oh, I don't need Airtable. I probably do, though, but that's okay. So, you know what I mean? I love reaching out and having these people reach out to us and us reach and us just talking and because it's encouraging and it's just uplifting.
Yeah,
it is. I can't wait to, our next one is with this lady named Susan, and she's been in the art business since like the 1960s and how much has changed since then. Like when we were just talking to her, kind of figuring out what we're going to talk about, and, you know, can this help the audience? You know, all those things. It was just like,
I felt like we were friends. Didn't you feel like we were?
I wanted to be friends, like right there.
We were best friends with her within three minutes. Me and Stephanie are both like, oh my gosh, yes, girl. You know,
totally gushing. We were like girl fans.
It's hard to not fangirl over these amazing artists, but they're so nice and so real when they come on.
I agree.
Love it.
Completely.
And you know, we had that listener question a while ago about like, how can I meet people like you and, you know, whatever that was, they just wanted a community of artists like them, and they're out there, they're waiting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I think we mentally have a blocker somehow of like, they're better than us type of thing, but they're just people. They're amazing people who have found a way to express their voice through fear. And I give myself goosebumps, but they're just, but they're amazing people.
But you know, even here, just locally, all of these, you know, big local artists, and some of them have stuff at Low Mill, and like you go into their studio and they're like, hey, grab a cup of coffee. And you're like, okay. And it's nice to find other people who will like almost literally give you their shirt off their back, you know?
Yeah.
Yes.
There are good artists out there who want to help and mentor those who are coming behind them.
Yeah.
And I will say something, like, I agree with some of the tactics that they're taking too, with actually mm-hmm. selling their programs and getting on Skillshare and kind of creating that, that gate, so to speak, of paying, because mm-hmm. they're not going to get the trolls. Because if you do the stuff like on Facebook and you do it on YouTube and you're just giving away information, you get the trolls that think they know better than you. And yeah. it's like, okay, yeah, you might know better, but I'm sorry, are you putting anything out there besides like something positive? So I got to hand it to these ladies for doing that. And it's a very valid reason. Because one, they've taken the years to learn how to do it. And two, it does prevent the negative Nancys of the world.
It does.
We all experience negative Nancy.
Yes.
It's so nice though. I mean, I like it that we're surrounding ourselves with positive patties.
Definitely.
Because the negative Nancys are out there and we know it. And, you know, and we know in our brain it's going to happen, but when it does happen, it still sucks. So I like it that we have each other.
Yeah.
Because when that happens, like, Stephanie, you've had a couple of comments and you call and you're like, can you believe this? And we're like, no, we cannot, you know, and Julie's the same way. Guess what happened here? And we're like, that sucks.
I know. I sent you guys like a screenshot of, here's all the words that I'm blocking on Facebook. I got to figure out how to block those same words on YouTube. That'll be like a coming thing, I'm sure. Because, you know, it's a way of protecting myself.
Right.
It's that negative bias type thing. I can get like 20 good comments and then that one is just, you know, festering and rotting in my brain over and over.
Well, it gives you serious imposter syndrome too, you know? Yeah. And that's one thing I think interviewing all these folks that we've interviewed so far too, is they are just like brushing off imposter syndrome off their shoulder. Oh, here it is again, brushing it off. Here it is, again, brushing it off. Yes, they all deal with it. I'm not saying that they don't. And it's probably not that easy just to take a brush to the shoulder, but they're not letting it bring them down and steal their joy.
Yeah.
And exactly. I think at least me personally, sometimes I let it steal my joy, especially when I start comparing myself.
Yeah.
And I think that's another trait that is the successful stories are coming from, are those that are just like, nope, go away. It's like the old cartoon with the little devil sitting on the shoulder. It's like, nope, not listening to you.
Well, I feel like the theme, I'm seeing a theme in our conversation here, just this little coffee chat, is we've kind of identifying what's helping make these girls, I shouldn't say girls, what's helping make these female women empowered artists like succeed. And it's their positive attitude. They found their joy. They're sharing their joy. And those two things are completely fulfilling for them in their success.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm missing that. I feel like that's so easy. And I feel like that's so easily said, but it doesn't fully represent the hard work that they've done.
It is easily said, but there's so much that goes into that being able to be easily said.
Definitely a mindset that they have found for themselves.
And I think there's, you know, a spiritual element to it as well, is in the belief system of themselves that, you know, whatever that maybe, I mean, we have no idea, but I'm just saying, like, I think it's more to be in that mindset is they've found what works for them to stay there. Like, meditation works for me, and listening to certain things at night works for me. But, you know, if I go down a different path and I stop doing one of those things, then I find that there's more imposter syndrome in that. And I think, even though we haven't talked to them about routine, I'm kind of wondering if they each have somewhat of a routine to keep in that creating for the joy of creating.
that would be fun, is to go back and get their answers on that. And we could post it on our social media. Like, what's your favorite, or what is your go-to morning routine?
Right.
Yeah. I love that idea. You and I, like, ding, I wrote it down.
Yep. Yeah.
Because, you know, we talk about all this other stuff, but there is a certain level of mindset and spirituality that comes into keeping that joy there.
Yeah. And I figured it out for me, like, even during this last sabbatical, every one of these sabbaticals is just, I hate them on the very first 2 days because I feel useless because I'm not doing anything for anybody. But by the end of it, there's a shift that happens where I find myself again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's every single one. But what I found, like, what's rejuvenates and refocuses me is actually journaling and exercise. I have so much nervous energy that if I don't exercise, I am in a constant spiral.
Mm-hmm. That's not good.
Yeah. Well, it's just that negative mindset. Cause if, exercise just does something for me, and it's not the same for everybody.
No, it's not. Mm-hmm. But the serotonin that is being released.
Yeah.
When you exercise is bringing you that calm and that joy, probably.
And I don't get that through meditation. Meditation, the monkey's bouncing all over in my head.
Yeah, I can't get my brain to shut up.
I'll tell you, though, that nighttime meditation that you turned me on to, Stephanie,
mm-hmm.
If I listen to that at night, my mindset the next day is so much cleaner.
Oh, really?
But I have to do it with headphones. I've tried doing it without headphones when John hasn't been around. It has to be headphones directly in my ear.
Yeah.
There is a certain level of calm and focus that I get the next day from listening to it.
You'll have to put the link up.
It was Insight Timer, right?
It was Insight Timer. You shared a couple of them with me.
Yeah. I still do some of those. I didn't do one last night, but I did one the night before. It was really good. And nope. it did help that. And I like lemon balm tea.
Mm-hmm.
That I found it helps with anxiety because apparently I've got anxiety problems.
Lemon balm?
Yeah, it was lemon balm tea. I got it at Whole Foods.
Yeah.
It's really good. It's caffeine free. And I just have been last several weeks or so, every other night, just having a cup of tea and reading until I'm tired of reading, or I listen to Insight Timer and just, or I crochet and listen to Insight Timer and have tea. So
that's all good. Yeah. Crocheting. You should always have, they always say to have like a nighttime routine helps you with setting yourself up for good sleep and re-energizing and renewing of yourself. So,
yeah. Wow.
Really, I'll tell you, when I don't do that, I sit there at night and my brain just swirls and swirls and goes until I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, it's loud. And
well, that's what happened to me. I woke up at 4 a.m. because I was like, where's that suitcase? My mom had a really nice suitcase that was good for an overnight trip.
Yeah.
Wonder where that's at. Is it in my closet? And then I'm going through my brain of where did we stick it? Oh, I think I know where it is. I think it's in the attic. I think we stuck it at this location in the attic. And
exactly. Julie, I was sitting there thinking last night, my grocery list of all things. I'm like, don't forget soy sauce. And so for 15 minutes, my brain went, Hey, like poking me. Hey.
Yeah.
Don't forget soy sauce. Oh yeah. Don't forget soy sauce.
Yeah. It's 4:19 a.m.
Got it.
Well, so, okay. Sometimes that happens. I actually have a notepad next to my bed. That's one. Because
I wrote it down, but my brain was like, are you sure you wrote it down?
Yeah.
Are you going to be able to read that in the morning? I'm like,
Yeah, I couldn't go back to sleep.
Yeah.
I tried, but it was like, and I didn't do my Insight Timer last night.
Mm.
And I was off my bedtime routine because I had to go pick up the boys from the airport late at night. And yep. So there's all these things that I didn't do that I normally do, and woke up at 4:19. I remember looking at the clock. It's freaking 4:19. Like, seriously. But
we're creatures of habit, though, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a nap today, Julie.
More so at night, or more so the older I get, I'm more of a creature of habit than I've ever been in the past.
Are you saying we're getting to be old, grouchy women?
I hope not.
Eh, it's fine.
I hope I'm entering the prime of my life is what I hope I'm doing now.
Girl, I miss my prime. I am down the hill and in the ditch. Okay.
Ben and I went on a 10-mile hike on Sunday, and like, we went up around Montesano. Like, we actually walked like the whole around. It's like 10 miles. It was up some boulders, down some boulder river, and it was really fun. But at the same time, there was points of it I was like, in my mind, I'm like, in my mind, I feel like I'm just 24. And then my mind says back to me, yeah, but how old your body? And I was like, shut up.
Yes.
Exactly.
That's what I said the whole time at Disney. Yes, let's go here. Let's go here. Oh my God, there's so many screaming girls. I can't take it anymore. And then I'm like, oh my God, my feet hurt. Now my back hurts. Oh, my hip.
I'm telling you, in my brain, I still think I'm young. And my children are ahead of have assured me, no, you're not young.
Thanks, children.
That is true. I mean,
we're doing good. I mean, seriously, we are doing good. If you look around at some of the other moms that are our age, I think we've held our stuff pretty well together.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see.
I think so.
Yeah.
The best we can.
I think it's all right. Well, I hope you guys are encouraged.
Oy.
Be encouraged. Do what you want that brings you joy. Find a routine. Get good rest. And
yeah, we'll try to do the same. Yeah.
And we'll put all the links in the show notes for some of the stuff we talked about. So until next time, guys.
Thanks for listening to Artists Soar,
a podcast for artists by artists. And if you have any questions, feel free to email us at hello@artistssoar.com.
And be sure to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts so that you can get more of us and we can bring in some sponsors to help you and help us.